Hi everyone, I am so happy and pleased and honored to be sitting over here with Avram Dahan, my friend Avram Dahan from the holy city of Tzfat, and the author of this incredible book, the encyclopedic anthology, encyclopedia of Talmud of Plants. And I'm telling you, this book is unbelievably thorough, and the man that we're sitting over here is a treasure chest of information of on so many levels. So I don't want to waste time in too many semantics. I would really want to jump in because there's a wealth of information that I would like to get into in the next 45 minutes to an hour. Just digging into a little bit more of what the indigenous plants of the land of Israel look like, where we got them, historically, how we maintain this tradition, and so starting out with you, you're Rabbi Avram. So, tell us about yourself. What was your, where are you from? What was your inspiration, to really get to do what you do right now?
Wow, thank you. Good evening, Rabbi Amichai and everyone. Okay, let's say that first of all, I'm Israeli. And as Israeli, I very love to travel in the land of Israel. And I in when I was young, I learned in agriculture school and after that in the army, and I was a few years in kibbutz, and after that moshav. And all my, let's say, the 30 years of my life, that was around agriculture, around plants, about everything. And it was some question that I was very curious about that. So I want to learn about medicinal plants. But in Israel, every place that I'm asked, like the colleges or that some institute that they are teach medicinal plants, when I ask them, okay, which kind of medicinal plants you have and or you teach, they told me Chinese and Indian, and something on me felt resisting. And I had asked the people there, and what about the local medicinal plants, the Jewish medicinal plants? They say that they don't know anything about that. They don't believe that anyone knows something about that. And it's take time for me to understand that really we have here huge mystery question. What's happened to the ancient Jewish medicinal plants? Why we don't have that? We are antique nation as the Jew, and we are in the same times like the Chinese, like the Indians, like the Greek. And all of them, they have a magnificent, really magnificent medicinal plant, tradition of medicinal plants. And when you ask about the Jew, about the medicinal plant, no one know to tell you anything except one word, Rambam. And that's all. Here, it's finished. And then when I say, okay, Rambam is nice, what you take from Rambam to your life? Ah, people, they don't know what to do about with this question. And I'm not speak about, let's say, Chabad people that they learn Rambam. Even Chabad learn Rambam from the halacha perspective. But okay, it's very important. It's the center of the life. But take it out now. I don't want to bring the perspective of the halacha. I want to learn about plants from the Rambam. And this idea or this question will not get any answer about that. And I asked few professors in the academia in Israel University, please let me know about the ancient Jewish medicinal plants. What do you know about that? It's have some any evidence? We ha you have some any research about that? All of them, all of them, and they are professors, all of them from Bar Ilan, Tel Aviv University, Technion, Haifa University. They told me, Avram, leave it. It's not something like that, because, you know, we spread to all over the countries and we lost everything. They didn't know even to tell me when it was, what was the reason that we lost everything. And I started the research 15 years ago because it was really mystery question. Where is the ancient Jewish medicinal plants? What happened with her? But above that, it was one huge trigger that motivated me. It was Tanya chapter 8. As the one that learned Tanya, and I try to learn Tanya really, and I very love the Tanya, and I wish that the Tanya will be in my heart and not just intellect in my mind. When I came to the chapter 8 in the Tanya, in the end of the chapter, the Alter Rebbe, he said that everyone that learned the Chochmah Zara, he take the Chochmah Bina Daat of the godly soul and he put her down. He bring it down, deeper down. Say, wow, I was in shock. What's the meaning, godly soul? Let's say, you know what? The animal soul, I can understand that. Okay, it's our ego, our mind. We take our mind and we put that on. I can understand that. But what Alter Rebbe mean here? That we take the godly soul and we bring him down, so down that it's wow. I was in a shock and I said, wow, look, I know a lot of my friends that they are religious. Datileumi, Breslav, traditional Sephardi, and they study Chinese medicines, Indian medicine, because really we don't have the ancient Jewish medicinal plants. And this was the trigger. This was the motivation that I understood and that I need to take this mission. And I felt that it's the godly mission in my soul. And I really can say that in the first year, in the first 4 or 5 months, I start to follow and start to research. And I found a lot of plants in the Hebrew Jewish book. And I looked after manuscript in the universities in Israel, and I understood that we have a lot of information, but really it's spread, and it's, we say in Hebrew, balagan, it's one big mess. And I tried to build a building of chapter, like method of chapter, how I want the chapter that he will be. And as you hold that now, Rabbi Amichai, that you see that every chapter have some
that's so beautiful, yeah
avnei derech, or let's say some some logic chapter how it's work. And I start in after 15 years, Baruch Hashem, in last September, yeah, we published the encyclopedia Talmud of Plants, that it's the first research in the world.
Tremendous.
It's bring the ancient Jewish medicinal plants again after 2,700 years.
Tremendous. So this took you how long to compile?
15 years of research.
Amazing.
Day and night, really.
I could see it. were you teaching in university at the time, or what was your affiliation with the academia?
I must to say that the academia, when I was in, let's say after the army, when I came to studies, they asked me to make psychometry, I don't know in English, but, and I didn't know what is that. And,
Standardized test. Yeah.
And okay, I didn't succeed, and I failed in that. And the university was close to me. I couldn't study in university, but it took me time to understand that the chokhmah and all the intellect is not just in the university,
no.
It's in our soul.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Which means that if the university didn't give me permission to come inside, I will create my university and I will bring the new work to them. And really,
amazing.
I can say that today in Israel, in the last 6-7 years, I'm the only researcher in Israel that
the expert
hold this, the expert of this kind of ethnobotanic.
Amazing. Amazing.
And they invite me, Technion, the agriculture faculty in Rehovot, Jerusalem University, Tel Aviv, I think all of them together. And I'm lecture front of students or something like that. And I can tell you now that in next year, the academic year, Riedman College in Israel, they took Talmud of plants as part of their program, and they
wow.
will start to teach the ancient Jewish medicinal plants.
Wow.
And it will be really something amazing that we make history in Israel.
Wow, that must feel so incredibly gratifying after all those years of work, that your work is now being used as the text for this new for this refam. Amazing. So let me ask you a question. So why is it that we don't have this ancient tradition as much as the Indian culture, the Chinese culture, the other, the Greeks, the other, you know, major cultures in the world?
Rabbi Amichai, your question is the basic questions, and it's so important that you, and I'm really great, and thank you that you asked this question, because people confused about that, and it's a mystery question. What's happened to the ancient Jewish medicinal plants? Our story as a Jewish nation started in 1272 BC, since the time that Yoshua, son of Nun, and the 12 tribes, they are conquered and division the land of Israel, and they share the land to 12 tribes. Let's say from this time, I want to say 1272, but it's 14 years after that. But let's take that as 1272 as the BC, as the time that the Jewish agriculture revolution started. Every tribe shared the land with the families that he had. And they start to build autarkic meshek autarky, if you can just translate this word, like a farm, autarkic farm.
Almost like a kibbutz, and you could say.
Which means, no, it's not like a kibbutz.
Okay.
Autarkic farm, which means that every family grow all what they need, fruit,
okay,
vegetable, dairy, whatever they need for themselves. We
okay.
say that in Hebrew, we say meshek bar kayama, which means that I grow everything that we need as a family. It's not a business. They didn't sell that for each other. And if I have, let's say that I have extra tomato and you have extra eggplants, we just sharing with that. Yeah, a barter, like a barter. Mm-hmm. And this was the agriculture revolution, which means that before of 1272, our nation or our parents, there was a shepherd. Okay, there was not agriculture. There was a shepherd. But since they came to Eretz Israel, they start to be farmers as agriculture. They start to work the land, what they didn't know before of that. If you will see Avram Avinu and Yitzchak and Yaakov and all the tribes, there was shepherd. They didn't work with the land. They didn't know how to grow tomato. Tomato is not a good example because it was not from here, this area. But there was not agriculture, farmers. But here, we'll... till 1272, they start to grow, and let's say during 550 years. And why 550 as a number of years? It's so important, Rabbi Amichai, because something happened after 550 years. But let's take, first of all, the 550 years. Doesn't matter which residence or countries or nation was settled in the land, in any land, 550 years, there was developed traditional crafts. Let's say music, let's say agriculture, jewelry, perfume, art, poets, textile, everything, fishers, everything. In one word, we will say that in our time, culture. Culture of nation. Exactly like that, this is what happened here about the sons of Israel. All the time that the kingdom was, the United Kingdom was exist. But after the separation of the kingdom, Israel and Judea, let's say that the traditional craft, there was here, nothing happened with them. Okay, the botanical world, the plants, the trees, all what they saw in the land of Israel, it doesn't matter if the kingdom is united or separate, Judea, Israel, ze lo chashuv, ze lo mishane. The nature is the same nature. But something happened.
It is a different agriculture. They're very different. The Galilee and the Samaria region and the desert region.
You're right, but it's Mediterranean
climate.
And it's the same place. And it doesn't matter because it's the same varieties of plants. And if you want to go from Judea to bring olive oil from the Galil, okay, you take a car or taxi in the ancient time, and after 2-3 weeks you are in the Galilee and you take whatever you want. If you want the best wine, you're going to the Judea or something like that. But everything is here, which means that it's very, very close. In the meanwhile, in 732 BC, in the east, the Assyrian Empire start to develop it. Tiglath-Pileser, he was the great empire. And in the DNA of the Assyrian, it was that they need to be empire. And really, they conquered all the neighboring kingdom around them. And they start to develop. And the Assyrian, after a few years that the Israelites' kingdom was dependent on the Assyrian, they conquered the kingdom of Israel. 10 years after that, in 722, and this the tragic time, I don't know what's happened to the king of Israel, that he was Hoshea, son of Elah. It's very a mystery to try to understand what he think that he can lead a rebellion against Shalmaneser, king of Assyria. And he refused pay text, and he tried Aram, the king of Aram, and other small kingdom here in the area, and tried to lead a rebellion against the Assyrians. Two and a half years after that, the huge Assyrian army was here, and he conquered all the Israelites' kingdom. 10 tribes was in the Israelites' kingdom, and 2 tribes in Judea. He suppressed brutally the rebellion, and he expelled all the 10 tribes all over the Assyrian Empire. In this moment came the end of 550 years of Jewish culture or Israelites' culture in the land of Israel. And when we say the end of the culture, which means that all the culture include the end in traditional from generation to generation. From this moment, the Israelites and the Judea's people, 120 years after that, the king of the Assyria, which means in this moment we lost all the culture. From now, all the Jews, the Israelites and the Jews, they start to cross all the continents and the countries, and every place that they came, Rabbi Amichai, they discover new plants. It's not the same anymore. Mm-hmm. And let's say they came to Babel, Persia, Madai, after that North Africa, and from North Africa or from Babel in the 8th century, they came to Spain, and they were settled there, and they built communities, Jewish community, glory Jewish community in Spain, almost 600 years.
Wow.
Till 1492, when the Spain expelled all the Jews, and again they came now to Europe. It's the same in our subject of medicinal plants. It's new variety of plants,
and also back to the Arab countries as well, like such as Morocco, Tunisia.
Yeah. Yeah, Iraq, and it's a different. Yeah, yeah. And if we want to close this question and to understand why the Chinese, the Indian, the Persian, the Greek, the Arab, mm-hmm. they have thousands of years of medicinal plants and the Jews not, this was the reason.
Wow.
The Assyrian Gallus.
Oh, unbelievable. So let me ask you, is there any tradition for those 550 years that we can trace in some way that we could look back to?
Yeah.
Because is that something that you have done? Look, and
yeah. Yeah. Definitely. To five categories: medicinal plants, spices, incense, seven species, and fruit trees. Some of the plants that we can find evidence or some hityachasuyot in the Bible that we can
references
see, yeah. Reference cumin, kamun, or ketzach, the nigella sativa, the Latin name, black cumin. We can see the evidence from the Yeshaya, the prophet Yeshaya, in the 7th century BC, okay? Which means that when he bring the evidence in the book of Yeshaya, we have that. But we can see that the time of the Bible, we have some 130 different kind of plants, fruit trees, and spices that there was here grow in Eretz Israel. But in the Mishnah time and the Talmud, we can see now almost 550, which means what happened here? From where came now more than 300?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer of that is in 332 BC, when Alexander the Great, the Macedonia, when he start the war against the Persian Empire. The Persian Empire was a huge empire that came till Bulgaria of our time, till the border of Macedonia. And he start to fight against the Persian. Alexander the Great, he was a visionary. He was a huge vision. He wants to include together, to make one world, the East and the West together. He was the base idea that 200 years after that, the Greek will come and they will want to create one world, one culture. And when Alexander the Great, he pushed back the Persian to kill Persia, and he conquered all the Middle East and the Mediterranean and even part of India and Persia. He bring with his army a lot of botanists, zoologists, people that science that they need to know to research the new world that they didn't know in Europe. And they brought a lot of plants. Eretz Yisrael was the bridge between Asia to Europe, which means that a lot of plants that, let's say, like eggplant, like turmeric, sugarcane, a lot, hundreds, came from now from India and Persia and even the Far East through Eretz Israel to Europe. Wow. And then because of that, we can see that in Talmud Yerushalmi, and even Talmud Bavli, but more of that in Mishnah and Talmud Yerushalmi, for me, the Mishnah, as ethnobotanist, represents the plants that grow here in Eretz Israel.
Wow.
Rabbi Amichai, you learn and you teach the Mishnah as a halacha book. Amazing, yeah. Magnificent. But for me, in my eyes, my perspective as a botanical, the Mishnah teach me what we grow here. Talmud Yerushalmi teach me which plants at what's happened here in Eretz Israel. And then we can see that really that in the Bible time, it was 130, around 130. And the time of the Talmud now, it's more than 450.
Wow.
Between that, it was Alexander the Great and all those movements between Asia and Europe.
So let me ask you a question on that, because are they really indigenous to the land of Israel, or were they brought from, like you're saying, from other regions in the world to the land of Israel? But is that really calling it an indigenous plant of Israel? So how would you define that?
Okay, let's take one example about indigenous plants that belong to Eretz Israel. I think most of the people know the Arab name of the plants that call za'afran. Za'afran, or in English, za'afran, I think.
Za'afran.
Mm-hmm. But most of the people, they think that the za'afran came from Spain or Persia or other countries. But the za'afran was the indigenous plants that belong in Israel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu plants, first of all, in Eretz Israel, wow. And it was indigenous to Eretz Israel. And when Alexander the Great came, he find that here, and then he took that and sprayed that. This amazing. Example of, yeah, it's amazing. And it was one of the Simane Aktoret, Samemane Aktoret, the Karkom.
Right, which I want to speak to you about, the Ktoret, because you have,
yeah.
I missed that, but you have the Ktoret that you have assembled together, and talk about that in a second. But what are other such indigenous spices or fruit or whatever that are from the land that we are aware of that spread out to the rest of the world?
You ask if we have more?
Yeah.
Is this what you mean? If we have more plants?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, about the vine. Okay.
So that was going to be my question, because as you know, I'm involved with wine, and you know, it's a fascinating question. Where they say Shiraz, they say Shiraz, so there's a country in Persia, but it's the Song of God, right? Chardonnay, you know, there's all types of things like that. I'm just
it's nice idea, but if you want to talk with me, it's must to be with reference, okay?
Right, exactly.
You can't say something in the air, it's very
That's
nice
why
to
we're
say
talking.
That. But we need reference, and as you know me, through the encyclopedia, everything that I bring have a reference and evidence. 100%. It's not Avram Dahan. I'm just the collector of the details. But 100%. Yeah, we can see something about the vine, Rabbi Amichai. In the 7th century, it was one of the greatest Jewish doctor here in Eretz Israel. The name was Asaf HaRofe, Dr. Asaf, son of Brachiyahu.
It's a hospital Asaf, here in Israel.
Exactly. Yeah. This is the name, Asaf HaRofe.
Yeah.
Asaf, he lived around 600, 650, in my opinion, and I have really strong evidence that it's this the time that he was here in Eretz Israel. He wrote a magnificent book. It's called Sefer HaRefuot, the medicine book. The original manuscript, we can find that now in our time in München University. Part of the manuscript, the original, we can find in Paris University. Okay? And he wrote that in Hebrew.
Amazing. Asaf, what kind of script was it? I'm just wondering. A Syrian script?
In Hebrew. He wrote that in Hebrew.
But the letters were. That's a whole other discussion.
No, I didn't see the original.
The actual letters.
I saw the letters that they brought. It was a professor in 1955. Israeli professor, the name was Zisman Muntner, that he researched the manuscript of the Rambam, all the manuscript of the Rambam, all the 10.
Wow.
And he found the manuscript of Asaf HaRofe in München University. But look, what I'm going back to the vine. In this book, Asaf gave us amazing description about the vine in Eretz Israel. And he said that they are the best in the ancient world. Because of that, we can see that in Israel, we have a lot of archaeologic evidence about
wine process,
winery, vineyards, thousands in Eretz Israel. But what was the name? It was Shiraz, Chardonnay, Cabernet, Merlot. Rabbi Amichai, are you joking with me? They are European. We spoke about Yain Chardali, Yain Gordali from the Talmud time. We spoke about Sorek from the Bible, Sorek.
Mm-hmm.
And those kind of wine, there was the best in the ancient world. Look, again, when Titus came in the first century and he destroyed all the temple, he took slaves, Jewish slaves, and not just Jewish slave, and all the treasures of the temple. They took a lot of treasure, the botanical treasure. They take a lot of different kind of vine. They take a lot of plants. And from those, I don't have evidence to that. It's just one of the theory that I heard from Professor Zohar Amar from Bar Ilan University, but we can't prove that, okay? But he say, look, the Merlot and Cabernet, all the European, not all, some of the European, we have no doubt that there was a local from Eretz Israel that came to Europe.
Wow. Unbelievable.
And a second thing that I want now to connect to our conversation, Rabbi Amichai, your permission, that in my vision was not just the encyclopedia. Because if we want to bring back the ancient Jewish medicinal plants that we lost 2,700 years ago, one book is not enough. My vision was to build a farm.
It's a pretty big book.
Yeah, and then all the encyclopedia will grow in this farm. And 5 years ago, we did that in Mitzpeh HaYamim, in the Upper Galil. And there we have a garden of 4 dunams that more than 160 different kind of the encyclopedia plants, they grow there. And it's a terrace, 3 terrace. And the third terrace, it's the viner, the winery. And it's really nice because it took me almost 6 years to follow after antique vine from Eretz Israel.
Wow. Where did you get that vine from?
Oh, they are a local vine.
From where? Where did you get those vines from? I want to know.
Okay, south of Hebron, south of Hebron Mountain, Samaria. Palestinian villages, Golan Heights, even Carmel.
Wow.
And slowly, And with the support of two of my friends, that they are really crazy about the ancient fruit trees, and they helped me. And in the bustan, in the garden, in Mitzpah Yamim, I have a collection of 28 different kind of local vine, but they carry them now the Arab's name, because the Arab, they took the names from the Talmud Yerushalmi. I remind you, everyone, that Talmud Yerushalmi was before the Islam. 200 years before the Islam, or 150 years before the Islam came to the world. And they, some of the names the Arab took from Talmud Yerushalmi, which means that people was used those names in Eretz Israel. And we can find Jandali, that is Gordali, follow after the Gordali from the Talmud, Jandali, Gordali. Halawani, it's the Chardali. Sfadi, it's the Tzfatish one from Tzfat. Wow. And
Upper Galilee.
Rumi, it's the Rome vine. And it's amazing. And this year, Bezrat Hashem, this summer, it will be the fourth year since we plant them, which means that it will be Hilulim, the year of the Hilulim.
Wow.
And the visitor can come, and I guide in the Bustan twice a week, and tour guide, and people, they can come and see all the vine taste, and see all the local, the vine that came from Eretz Israel, which means this gave you really some idea about the saffron, about the vine, that there was indigenous to Israel, and it came as a gift from Eretz Israel to the other world.
Wow, incredible. So just going back to my original question, I mean, not the original question, the question that I asked about Alexander the Great bringing in all types of fruits or spices, whatever it is, to the land of Israel. Is that part of your research? Is that part of, you would say, plants that became now indigenous, we could say, to the land? They have become indigenous to the land. Like, what's the status of them? And what are some examples of them?
Okay, we have three labels. When we look now about the botanical world in Israel, we can see that in Israel, it's a small country, five different kind of climate, and we have 2,400 different kind of plants, but we have three period that they build all those. The first period, it was the biblical period, that we have all the Tanakh in this time, and we can find all the evidence. This is the first period, the first level. The third level, and I jump from the first to the third, okay? It's the Islamic time, which means the 7th century, since that the Islamic Empire, the Umayya sultans, they start to spread and conquered all the area. They start to develop the exporting from India and Persia to the land of Israel and all the Islamic Empire.
Such as what?
Then find...
Such as what? What are certain examples of what they would import in?
Turmeric.
Oh, okay, right.
Sugar cane.
Okay.
Brinjal. Even rice, okay, as example. And all those, we can't find evidence in the Bible. We can find evidence just from the 7th century. And all what we not find in the Bible, and we find that from the 7th century, it's the second level from Alexander the Great. And those three different kind of period, they built together the indigenous plant of Israel.
Interesting. Wow. Amazing.
It's more complicated than we thought, I think, Rabbi
Yeah. No. It sounds, I mean, it's super beyond, you know, this whatever 1 hour. I guess everyone's going to have to look into, you know, getting this book. But I'm just wondering, is there an addendum to this book where you give us like the historical sort of like framework, you know, the ability to orient ourselves? Is that something that maybe you're even working on compiling?
No, you can find that. You can find that, but it's really it's, let's say, some short text because it's one big word. And look, the encyclopedia, it's 1,388 pages.
Amazing.
And if I was open that, I think it was at least 200, 250 pages. And because of that, I give a lot of lecture about that. And in lecture, I can give that to people more interested about lecture, not to read historical part, because right. A lot of people, they are not interesting.
Right.
Unfortunately, about history.
So I have a question. So as you know, we're in the midst of a semester called Psychedelics and Judaism, and you know, there's been research found of in Tel Arad of uses of cannabis, for example, in the temples, and I'm just wondering, what was the extent of that kind of usage, you know, in all aspects of society, you know, as we again look at things, you know, in terms of the movement of, if it's legalization of it, or if it's psychedelics and helping and healing. What were the properties, let's say, of, not, I'm not just talking about cannabis, but I'm talking about, you know, the indigenous healing or maybe psychoactive plants that were in the land. I think that's interesting for a lot of people.
Okay, very clear. Chazal, the position of Chazal was anti uses that, and they refused to give a permission to use cannabis because they saw all the non-Jews, what's happened to them. And they, I can say that they get a right decision because they could see the effect in how it's affect the Arab, how it's affect the other nations or the neighbor. And halakha, they didn't give any permission to use that. And in the meanwhile, we can see that it was in the Mishnah, we can find two kind of cannabis. One is that it's female and one it's a male. The female is the drug, okay, that we know today. But the male plants, there was make from that the a lot of bags, carry bags, that they can use that. And or to make some low textile that they can use for a lot of things that they need to use that. But about the uses of that, it was absolutely, there was against that, and they didn't give any permission. And I need to really connect something for our time, about our time. Cannabis was illegal in a lot of Western countries. But in Israel, we have research professor Rafael Meshulam. I think now he's 93, and he's the father of the cannabis, the officinalis cannabis. What's the meaning of that? Every time that the Israeli police, they was catch some drugs, hashish or cannabis, he have a permission, legally permission in Hadassah, Yerushalayim. The police was bringing him some few grams of the cannabis, and it was in the 1960s. And he was researched that. Because his research, he discovered about all the substances, the biochemical substances that it have in this cannabis, and all the cannabinoidim. And because of that, he discovered, it was amazing thing about how it's effect to illness. Because of that, Professor Rafael Meshulam, in the world now, his title is the father of the was not give him, even it's not illegally, a small grams, few grams of cannabis that he can research all those years. We couldn't know all what we know about the cannabis. But more than the cannabis, we need to understand the difference between the medicine between in our time and the ancient time. In our time, we have a magnificent, amazing symptomatic medicine. Okay, really, it's the best in the history of the human being now in this generation. But we need to remember something very important, that electricity came to our world just 140 years ago, which means that microscope, it was not exist, which means microbiologic was not exist. To know what's the meaning of virus, bacteria, fungi, they couldn't know that, which means that all the system, the medicine system was different. It was not symptomatic, because they couldn't understand what is that, those symptoms. It was preventative medicine. And this, the different, which means that when we try to take some manuscript from the ancient time of, or even Talmud text, or even from the Bible, and try to compare that to our time, it's a huge mistake, because we can't do that. We need to take ourselves to the ancient time, to the period, to see everything as like we was live in those time, and not try to compare the text to our time. Where is meet me now in my life? No, it's not work like that.
Well, we were much more connected to the land. We were tribal. We ate differently. The physically, we were physically much more, you know.
Yeah, but not just that, Rabbi Amichai. The industrial revolution start in 1856 in England, which means till the 19th century, it's a different world. It's like lifnei matan Torah, achrei matan Torah. Before the industrial revolution, after the industrial revolution. And try to understand, electricity came to our life just 140 years. It's nothing.
Crazy.
Louis Pasteur in French, he was the first scientist that he discovered some bacteria. Which means everything was different. Because of that, we can try to ask ourselves about cannabis. Oh, is the Chazal? There was no about the all the... No, all what they saw that when the Arab used that, they are, let's say in Hebrew, mastulim. They are off, and they are brutally, and they are aggressive, and they lost themselves totally. And they say no. They want to protect the Jews. Halakha, you can't touch that. But we need to understand the tools that they had in the ancient time, this what give them the only way that they can take a decision to give some permission or not. We can see that in the Talmud even, that Alexandria, it was a science city in Egypt on the name of Alexander the Great. before the Muslim, Alexandria was the Greek city in Egypt. And we can see few evidence in the Talmud, Talmud Bavli, that Chazal, Chachamim, they call about expertise people from Alexandria. Rabbi Akiva, after he used them, they know there, even there was Greek or there was Asian, the halacha of Chazal, sometimes they changed that because those, the expertise people that came from Alexandria, they invite them.
Amazing. So when you talk about, let's say, the spice route, going through, specifically going to Alexandria, or if it's coming from, you know, down the Sinai, up from the south of Israel, all the way to the Jordan Valley, all the way up to Syria, and it was the, you know, Europe, you know, Europe and the continents are connected. So Israel was the spice route. So I'd like to get into the indigenous spices of Israel and, you know, and the Ketoret and what you found about the Ketoret.
First of all, I think and privilege, and it was not easy to discover that, but it came to my hands that I find in the encyclopedia is the first Jewish book that you can see a parallel of the Ketores, all the 11, parallel to the Sfirot of the Kabbalah, that parallel to the all the forces on the Chassidus of the soul, the intellect and the emotion.
Wow.
All those three, it doesn't mean that Avram Dahan discovered that. No, who's that Avram Dahan? He's just the collector. But Hashem opened the books or bring that to me that I can pick the details from a lot of books of Kabbalah, Rabbi Chaim Vital, Ha'ari, Talmud Bavli, and Chassidus, a lot of Chassidus, and you can see in the part, the chapter of the Ketores, the instance, you can see those three parables, the Tarshinim, if you can help me with this word, Tarshim.
Manuscripts.
Manuscripts of the, first of all, the incense, second, the Sfirot, the Kabbalah, and the soul, the script of the soul.
Powers of the soul.
And wow. Each, the intellect and the emotion, which means that each one of the 11 parts in this, 11 chapters in this part, it's take us through, first of all, botanic, to recognize who's that, this Sameman, who's that, and what was the uses in the ancient time. It was not just Ketores. It was a lot of things. And then through that, we follow after the incense, the Kabbalah, the Sphira, which Sphira is that, and then we came exactly to the emotion part. If I will give some example, let's say the cinnamon. Cinnamon in the incense, it's hod in the sfirat, sfirat hod, it's anava, it's emotion, a part in our soul, and it's a huge thing that each one of us that learned this chapter, this is the hardcore, this, the difference between the ancient Jewish medicinal plants and all the other, the Chinese, the Indian, because in the beginning, in the Bible time, the ancient Jewish medicinal plants was herbs and spiritual. That's all. And wow. This, we can see that in the this part of the encyclopedia.
Unbelievable. So, for example, cinnamon is useful for cultivating humility. And
you can open the book. I think you have the book front of you, you can open and see, but this, and then you have the second part of the chapter that take you now in the chassidus part to the emotion. Who's that, the cinnamon in our soul? What's the meaning of the cinnamon? Or what is that the more? In the more, as example, when I start to research the more, I was sure that it's tree. Commiphora gilladendis, Commiphora mira. I was sure that it's a tree. And I could see that in the rolling name, that I can see that some of the Gdolei Israel, they say, okay, yes, it's the Commiphora mira, is a plant. And I build the chapter, but during that I'm working this chapter, I can see a conflict that a lot of great Gdolei Israel, they are against the, they say, yeah, it's a musk deer. It's not the Commiphora, Mapitom. And then what I was need to do, who I am, that I will say that who is right and wrong. Under the name of Mira, I was need to build two chapters. One that belong to the tree, Commiphora, Mira, and the second, the musk deer. And after that, I found that in the Halacha, all the way that the musk deer was the incense, the substances in the temple, in Aftina's family, and it's not the tree, it's the musk deer. And then what is that mira in the in our soul, chesed and ahava, and we follow after what is that love. And it's amazing, because when I'm lectured to people, I'm not lectured to Chabad or something, because the Orthodox in Israel, they don't know anything about the Talmud of plants, really. Unfortunately, I say that maybe few of them. And the people, the general people in Israel, when I give a lectures every Tuesday, and I open their mind in this part of the encyclopedia, because I think this is the hardcore of the encyclopedia, and this what's the make the ancient Jewish medicinal plants so unique compared to the other, because we have something that the other don't have. We have the soul. And if we, as the Rebbe said, that when we learn Chassidus, it's pikuach nefesh of our generation. Because if we know our soul, all the forces, the intellect, the emotion, we can control ourselves and to be better. Because of that, the Alter Rebbe say, Moach, control the heart. And now all the pieces of the puzzle come together, and it's wow. And Hashem, really, bring
and
that.
Also, and also Adam is from the word Adama, earth. And so we are interconnected. You know, we are, Adam is Olam Katan, man is a small world, and the world is the big world. So in within inside of us, we have all of the, you could say, all of the herbs, all of the plants, all the spices, right? Even on a spiritual, biological level, we have that. And of course, we know that we need, if it's certain herbs or it's certain minerals and you know, it was something that perhaps is much more indigenous back in the day, where we were able to have this knowledge and connect on the physical level and on the spiritual level, right? I think it's an unbelievable thing. Where could people buy this book? People pick up this incredible book, and they have this in English also, right? It is in English.
No, it's not in English yet, and not yet.
Okay, it's getting
and
there.
I don't know, but to translate that to English, just to give us some idea, what's the meaning of that? In English, we need more than 35% word more than Hebrew. which means if we have here 350,000 sword plus 35%, you can understand that. And it will be not one book. It will be maybe five part, each one of them. It will be as a book. And it's a really huge project. And we made English film, the explanation English film that I can send it to you if you want to Incredible. See that. And we really look after sponsor that he can take a charge about that. And we try to look after in the last few months. But it will be, I think, team project of translation. I'm not speaking about now illustration or printing. First of all, it must be a team and language editor that he will lead all the translation, that it will be the same things. And I can tell you, once that we checked that a year ago in one guys in England, he want to take that to translation of St. James translation, and then I understand wow, he wants to take that to the Old Testament translation, and I understand that wow, it can be problem that it's not so easy to think to translate, and it must to be some people or group that they are Jewish Orthodox that they will really know how to translate that, because if no, they can take that to the St. James and it can be Chilul Hashem. And right. We don't want to fail.
No, you did the amazing project to really see the sources and understand it, you know, understanding the spiritual significance of it. Wow. I want to really thank you, Avram. I mean, we could, I feel like talk for hours and hours, but I feel this is a good part one to really just get into the general world of what the indigenous plants are in Israel, you know, understanding a little bit more about our incredibly rich tradition, you know, and understanding the world, you know, the climate, the earth that we have, you know, the goodness of the land of Israel. And to really thank Hashem, thank God for the amazing goodness that we have in this amazing land, and in the world in general, you know, being thankful for God's incredible wisdom that is within nature. And this wisdom in Israel is something which I'm super glad, and it's the right time, the right person at the right time, you know, because coming to this is, you know, for sure something that, you know, is going to bring forth, you know, wisdom that we're waiting for, right? With the coming of Mashiach, the Geula, and you know, redemption, and understanding that we're on the cusp of something really great, and all this incredible wisdom that's within the earth, right, is going to come back to us. So when that happens, we're going to have a beautiful framework to be able to follow along.
Rabbi Amichai, if I can suggest you something, really, I think for you and for your students, and you can come to our Bustan in the farm, and we can make a class in the farm if you want, and Amazing. To show, you can show to the people if you want, and Tu Bishvat, it's very close now in our Amazing. Time.
Yeah,
and you can choose the time, and you will welcome to make a class in the Bustan.
Amazing. Yes, I have to come. It's so close yet, like, wow. We're gonna make that happen,
and I promise you that I will put your hands in the ground.
I love it. And my feet on the ground. I love grounding. I think that, you know, earthing, like feeling that earth is so special.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you so much, Avram. Thank you so much for your wisdom and for what you do. Keep up what you do with a lot of blessings, a lot of atzlacha and everything that you do, going from strength to strength. Michael El Chayev.
Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.